Let me give you a little background because this all ties into terrorism, illegal immigration, which is one of the spawn, shall we say, spawn and spawners of terrorism. The Syrian refugee, I mean, it ties into everything. It ties into Nancy Pelosi's incredible statements about windfall taxes on your stock market and your retirement and your pensions, etc. All ties in. This is all part of the same game by the extreme left and the Islamic socialists. So, the name of the case is United States versus Texas. There's a majority of the states, I believe it's 26, have joined in that suit. Texas started it. Good for Texas. And at issue in this argument is the policy that Obama calls, the administration calls, deferred action for parents of Americans and lawful permanent residents, which is known as DAPA. This is a program that was unilaterally, no Congress, against the Constitution, you name it, and against Obama's oath of office, which the Supreme Court very uniquely is looking at as part of this case to uphold the full faith of the laws of the United States, with full faith, the laws of the United States. The executive branch created this program out of thin air. It contravened Congress and Congress's statutory framework for that determines when an illegal alien can lawfully enter, remain in, work in the country. And the Texas Attorney General, quote, DAPA would deem over 4 million unlawfully present aliens as lawfully present and eligible for work authorization. And lawful presence is an immigration classification established by Congress that is necessary for valuable benefits such as Medicare and Social Security. Do you see how all this ties in? I mean, I have told you innumerable times how brilliant our adversaries are, how utterly ruthless is the extreme left. Now, you take Nancy Pelosi's comments, you take the facts and figures I just gave you from LA County, one county, as published in the LA Times. You multiply out the numbers, i.e., costing each of us now, forget all the rest of this stuff, $2,000 a year to support people here illegally. And it just blows your mind. And it ties in, by the way, perfectly with the Cloward and Piven scheme, which Obama has endorsed tacitly or directly through his acts and lack of acts, which is you don't need a revolution to bring down a democratic capitalist republic. You only need to overburden it with financial entitlement, which is exactly, of course, what's being done and what this does. Okay, so on the other side, the administration argues, I mean, it's just a convoluted argument, it's unbelievable. The administration argues that they have the full right and power under prosecutorial discretion. In other words, the president and his attorney general, you know, his chief legal lackey, I guess, unfortunately, I had higher hopes for Loretta Lynch, but certainly in the case of Eric Holder. So his number one political legal lackey have full discretion to decide what laws get upheld and what laws don't get upheld when it comes to a host of items, particularly illegal immigration, Syrian refugee, you know, that whole ball of wax. And as part of that, if they decide, follow this now, I mean, it's a very clever argument, even though it's convoluted. If they have the prosecutorial discretion to say that an illegal alien, the action against an illegal alien is going to be deferred, which gives them legal status, right? No action is being taken. They can stay here. They can work, blah, blah, blah. Therefore, they are in legal land. Then that confers on them all the rights to all the goodies that an American citizen would get, with the exception so far of voting, but we know that they're certainly moving in that direction. So if you get that argument by the administration, then you get the argument for the other side of the case, that is the side of the case opposite the states. The Solicitor General, Donald Varelli for Obama, says deferred action does not confer lawful immigration status or provide any defense to removal. An alien with deferred action remains removable at any time, and DHS has absolute discretion, this goes back to prosecutor discretion, to revoke deferred action unilaterally without notice or process. In other words, it's unbelievable. So, prosecutorial discretion allows the government to defer action, which confers legal status, which gives them the right to work and all these goodies. So security and welfare and all that kind of stuff. But it's not really illegal because they haven't waived the right to reverse the prosecutorial discretion and ship these guys out of here. Wow, that's unbelievable. You know, that's like saying, I shot somebody in the leg. I shouldn't get prosecuted for that, and I have the right to do it because at any time I wanted, I could have committed murder and shot him in the head. I mean, you know, I almost can't come up with an analogy. But this is their argument that they're going to make to the Supreme Court. Then, you'll love this. The same Solicitor General, in his brief, he stresses that deferred action, which gives them legal status, does not make an illegal immigrant eligible for federal welfare. Then he catapults from that argument and says, wow, but aliens that are here legally, because the action is deferred, are eligible for earned benefit programs. In other words, all the programs. Do you follow that argument? Wow, I'll tell you what. You talk about dancing on the head of a pin, as they say in legalese. Unbelievable. Now, he goes on to say, I'm giving you some of these quotes because they're just, I mean, just make your eyes cross when you really sit down and think about them, what the government's argument here is to try and circumvent the Constitution, the Congress, the will of the American people, the American pocketbook, the American tax system, and the American welfare system at the expense of the American public and at the expense of the rule of law. Here's another quote from the brief of Barry and crew. A non-qualified alien, this is an alien, a non-qualified alien is not categorically barred, however, from participating in certain federal earned benefit programs associated with lawfully working in the United States. The Social Security Retirement Disability, Medicare, and Railroad Worker Programs, so long as the alien is lawfully present in the United States, as determined by the Secretary of DHS. You follow this? Listen, we're not making him legal, but the fact that we haven't sent them out means we've deferred action, which gives them legal status. which allows them these benefits. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Anyway, when DHS, let me boil this down to you. When DHS grants an alien here illegally deferred action under this DAPA policy, the alien is not given lawful immigration status, like everybody's been waiting in line and doing it right and all that kind of stuff. The alien can be removed from the country at any time. However, because action is deferred, the alien is authorized to work in the United States, is considered lawfully present. You know, you love the play on words that the progressives use. And for those purposes, is totally eligible for the Social Security Retirement and Disability, Medicare, and Railroad Worker programs. Do you follow this? That is the government's, well, actually, that is Barry's argument. Okay. The United States Constitution, which is this clause in the Constitution, is the clause that the Supreme Court has insisted they are going to review this case under. Quote, he, this is the president, shall take care that the laws be faithfully executed. That is the United States Constitution, folks. So, when they agreed in January, this is before Scalia's death, to hear U.S. versus Texas, this case, it specifically requested that the parties argue whether Obama's DAPA policy, quote, violates the Take Care Clause of the Constitution, unquote. Now, this, folks, is telling. Here's the good news. The good news is that the 4-4 on this, the next lower court, Federal Appeals Court, and there's been several of them, by the way, because it's wound up through several different circuits, ruled that the president has violated his obligation to faithfully uphold the laws of the United States. He has violated the Constitution. He has violated the immigration laws that are on the books. And he has violated his express responsibility to bring this to Congress before anything is done. And the lower courts have stayed all this amnesty, green cards, welfare benefits, you name it. Now, probably based on other similar rulings, a couple of them, by the way, 9-0, which kind of beat down Obama's executive actions, but on a very narrow scope over the last several years. But it's safe to assume that at least the vote will be 4-4. In which case, just the opposite of that right to work case, we, i.e. Americans with American values, lost literally last week, this will go the other way. The lower court's rulings will stand, the law will be unconstitutional, and the stay will be permanent. It'll be a permanent injunction rather than a temporary restraining order or temporary injunction. One can only hope. I'll be reporting to you this on this next week. I'm sure, even though the mainstream media is like asleep at the switch on this case, which is huge, huge, I am sure that I'll take that back. Anymore, I'm not sure of anything. I am very hopeful that this is a slapdown of Obama's executive authority on a whole bunch of levels, and a slapdown specifically of this immigration boondoggle and all the crap that goes along with it, like this windfall profit tax on your Kia and you name it, the stuff I've talked about tonight and more that I don't have time to talk about. Okay, this brings us to our last segment, which is a continuation of my series about the American government funding, knowingly, surreptitiously, in a manner which is at best an attempt at concealment, mosques in the United States, and those funds then being shipped out to create terror either here or home, or at home here. excuse me, at home here or in foreign locations. So let's talk about San Diego, the San Diego Mosque. By the way, next week, probably, we'll see. There's so many juicy targets out there in my series that I don't know. But we'll probably be looking at the Minneapolis Mosque because it kind of ties into the San Diego Mosque. And the reason is that, should we say, the major precipitants of terror at these two mosques are Somali. And their fundings go to Al-Shabaab. You know, the Kansas City Mosque here 2 weeks ago that I talked about, their fundings go to Hamas and Hezbollah. Well, these fundings we're going to talk about today and likely next week in the Minnesota Mosque go to African terrorist groups, who, by the way, are run, Al-Shabaab was run by Al-Qaeda affiliates and Afghan-trained terrorists. Let me tell you about it. So, in the San Diego Mosque, including the imam of the mosque, they were gathering up money, some of it from government funds, some of it through, should we say, other contributions at the San Diego Mosque. They were gathering up money to send to Al-Shabaab in Africa. And the Al-Shabaab folks want to establish a Sharia government, which, by the way, is preached at the San Diego Mosque, and commits, you know, terrorists, all sorts of stuff. I mean, the kidnapping of the women over there, stoning of people, assassinations, roadside bombs, very much kind of Mideast tactics, which, of course, is understandable since their commanders have been trained by Al-Qaeda and by the Afghans. Not the Afghan army, well, maybe some of them, but by the Taliban. So, four Somali immigrants, remember the word immigrants here, folks. We've just been talking about all this, including the imam at the San Diego Mosque, have been convicted now of a U.S. federal jury of providing, quote, material support to an Al-Qaeda-linked Islamist militia in the Horn of Africa. The U.S. attorney, this is for the Southern District of California, which, by the way, is around the L.A. County area, right? I told you the show would all tie in. Okay, the imam, two cab drivers, and an employee at a money transmitting business conspired to raise and send money to Al-Shabaab. And the money was transferred through a Somalia kind of set-up and Islamist-run money-transmitting business called Shadal Express, S-H-I-D-A-A-L, Express. You can Google it up. It's kind of interesting. They're now out of business, of course, with all this criminal stuff. And the U.S. attorney, during the trial, the jury got to listen to intercepted phone conversations. In one of them, there's a San Diego cab driver. His name is Basali Saeed Moalin, and an Al-Shabaab leader, who was later killed, by the way, by a U.S. airstrike, whose name was Aiden Hashi Airo, A-Y-R-O. And in this recorded conversation, Airo is imploring Shabaab, imploring the cab driver that it's time to finance the jihad. That's a quote. Quote, you are running late with the stuff. Send some and something will happen. This is Airo to the cab driver, Moalin. And Airo and Moalin also talked about how to reach out to and involve Mohammed, that's E-D, Mohammed, that's U-D. You can't make this stuff up. Mohammed, the imam at the City Heights Mosque, to get involved in this funding. Well, anyway, they recorded another, they presented the jury with another recorded conversation, okay? And Molin, our buddy Molin, the cab driver, gave terrorists, that is, Islamic extremists, jihadis, permission to use his house in the capital of Mogadishu. Right? These are immigrants here, guys. All right. And their defense, these four guys, who were rightfully convicted, unfortunately, their maximum term is only 20 years. quote, the jury clearly did not accept defense claims that months of intercepted conversations about bullets, bombings, and jihad were actually conversations about their charitable efforts for orphans and schools. Gee, I wonder why. We've talked about this. We have talked about on this show continually, off and on, for more than 2 years about how money is being funneled and funded, much of it, or a good portion of it, from the United States government, that is our pockets, and masked as some type of charitable contributions. Remember my show last week or the week before where I talked about the £72 million, $100 million from Britain that was classed as charity that really went, well, basically to graft corruption and terrorist activities? This is the same deal. I mean, they have the same MO. And CARE, the outfit that I've talked to and talked about often in the past, 2 weeks ago, and talking about the Kansas City Mosque, and tonight, who is bringing the lawsuit to downgrade the terror list, downgrade the no-fly list, etc., is kind of the PR bow of this terrorist funding ship. Okay, also convicted, by the way, alongside Muhammad, and Molin was a 37-year-old by the name of Anaheim. Well, actually, he was an Anaheim cab driver. Ahmed Naziri Talil, T-A-A-L-I-L, Muhammad, another Muhammad, and a 56-year-old by the name of Isa Dora, who is the guy who ran the money transmitting business. All were members of the mosque. Now, this mosque was also involved, just so you know, if you really want to tie in this mosque, this was also tied in to one of the 9/11 hijackers. That's right. This mosque has been financing, funding, funneling, protecting, and enhancing and promoting terrorist activities here at home and abroad since at least the late 1990s. Hani Hanjour is a 9/11 hijacker who was identified as being connected to this mosque. So, you know, a lot of dots here, folks. Next week, we'll be talking about, I think, Minneapolis. We'll be talking about Obamacare. Who knows what's going to come up in the week between now and then. We have a meeting here tomorrow, Sunday, in Doha, that's over in the Mideast, between Russia, Iran, and Saudi Arabia, having to do with oil pricing. Anybody, if you guys have been watching that, you might have noticed it's up about 50 cents a gallon at the pumps here in the last 4 weeks, and be ready probably for another jump on Monday. Or if it's a pullback and prices go down, it's going to be brief. I've talked about it. Go back and listen to those shows. Get prepared for higher oil prices, maybe the highest we've ever seen. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. I'm sorry I did not have time to talk about the state convention tomorrow. I will do that next week. You have a safe and happy week.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.